So today I wanted to share with you about being a Pentecostal people. A Pentecostal people. One thing that I was being a little Pentecostal out there at that meeting, and these people were more Baptist oriented. So I'm not putting anybody down or anything like that. But, you know, I've been at Baptist churches where they say amen really loud, too. OK, so but I want to talk about what it means to be a church that is Pentecostal, that's full of the Spirit of God. And over history, God has always raised up a people that flowed in the power of Pentecost. Always the churches. It doesn't matter what label you put on it, but God has always raised up a people, come on now, that have flowed in the power of Pentecost, because that's the church that Jesus birthed. That's the church that the cross and the resurrection birthed. It was a Pentecostal church. And I want you to turn to Acts chapter 1. And we're going to go through that. And I'm going to define the Pentecostal people in four different ways. But we're going to talk about what does it mean to be a Pentecostal people. What does it mean? Now, it's not a denomination. It's not, you know, a little label. You know, people always ask me, whenever I meet somebody and they find out I'm a pastor, well, you're a pastor. One of the first question is, what kind are you? It's like when you look at an orange and you say, this is an orange. And somebody says, what kind of orange is it? No, it's an orange. Just eat it. You know, don't ask questions about what kind it is. But people want to know, man, if they see you, they just want to know what kind you are. Come on, does anybody know that? Anybody go through that experience? Oh, yes. Yeah, you can't just be a Christian around here. You got to be a certain kind of Christian. So I figured I'd talk about being a Pentecostal people, because that's really what a Christian is, without calling it a denomination. We are not a denominationally minded church. It is not a part of our value system. We believe that we are Christians, period. We are Christians, and that there's one Bible for one people. And the Word of God is the same for you, no matter what label you put on yourself. That's who we are. And so we just have to be ourselves because of the Word of God. So Jesus was going up into heaven. In verse 1, it says he gave instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. And then after his suffering, he showed himself with these men and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. Now, there's a realm of being a Christian where you really know that Jesus is alive. But Jesus didn't stop there, did he? He didn't say, okay, you know that I'm alive, go ahead and have church now, did he? It's not enough to know that Jesus is alive. It's not enough. It wasn't enough for Jesus back then, and it's not enough today. If all you say is Jesus is Lord and believe him with your heart that he's raised from the dead, it's not enough. It's not enough. You have faith and you've just started on the road, but don't just stand there on the road. Start walking it out. And in order to walk it out, you got to go to the upper room. And in the upper room, you're going to run into the Holy Spirit, and he's going to mess your life up, and you'll never be the same. Can somebody say amen? The Holy Spirit's there, and he's there to take you down the road. Jesus got us on the road, but now we need to start walking. And the Holy Spirit is there for us. So for 40 days, he told them. But then on one occasion, in verse 4, thank God for that one occasion. He spoke to them and he said this. He said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait. Everybody say, wait.
Wait.
Wait for the promise gift. Don't go, but wait. Wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. He was telling them all this, but that one occasion, he's like, okay, now pay attention. There's something that you have to have to be my witness. There's something that you need to have power. And the door to the power of God is waiting for the Holy Spirit. The door to the power of God begins with waiting for the Holy Spirit. That means you just don't open your mouth and start talking. I know Jesus is alive. He didn't tell them to do that, did he? He didn't say, go out and print up a bunch of tracts and talk about how you know Jesus is alive and 45 reasons why Jesus is alive. He didn't tell them to do that either. He said, I want you to wait because I've got something for you. And the waiting is where God begins to deal with us. And actually, they waited for how many days? It was 40 days that he was with them. And they had to wait 10 more days. 10 more days after Jesus left them, they waited 10 more days. Where were they waiting? In the upper room. And how were they waiting? Here's my first point. Pentecostal people are praying people. That's the first thing we have to say. We have to be a praying people because that's how you wait for the Holy Spirit. You wait for the Holy Spirit by praying. You wait on God. You know, waiting on God is one of the key most things that I learned how to do as a Christian. And waiting on God is another way of saying praying. But the kind of prayer that we're doing when we wait on God is a prayer of expectation. Yes. Hear what I'm saying? It's a prayer of expectation. It's where we position ourselves to hear. We position ourselves to do what we hear. But in order to do, you've got to hear. In order to move, you've got to be filled. You begin to learn what it means to be a spirit-empowered person. That means you don't turn your car on and try to drive it until you put some gasoline in the tank. And that means you wait until the tank gets filled. And when you know it's filled, you can turn the key and do what God has told you to do. So we're in Acts chapter 1, and he said, wait, and in a few days, it turned out to be 10 days, you will be filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so now let's go to chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came. Now, they didn't know it was going to be Pentecost. You don't really see anything in the scriptures. I want you to wait until this very important day on the Hebrew calendar. But it turned out that way, didn't it? So there was a timing that God had in his plan that when they were waiting for an event on God's calendar. If God wants us to be a Pentecostal people, he wants us to learn how to do things in God's timing. And what if they had went in and started to do all this stuff before the day of Pentecost, right? Who knows what could have happened? Maybe they would have started preaching and Herod would have taken one of them and thrown him in jail. Well, then he would have missed the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right? Or maybe one of them would have started witnessing to somebody and gotten beat up. Or maybe another person went and said, I'm just going to go back home and just go back to my... You see what I'm saying? Or maybe I need... They didn't do... None of them did it. They began to put prayer first. Amen. Come on, thank you. Prayer first. The first priority is prayer, because without prayer, you can't get the filling of the Holy Spirit to go and do what God's called you to do. That's where you get filled up. I got filled up in a Holy Ghost prayer meeting on New Year's Eve. That's when I got filled up. I got filled up so I was ready to go after that. I went back to college and I was a witnessing machine. I just couldn't stop telling people about Jesus for hours and hours, you know. And it was because I was in a prayer meeting and the time was right and I received what God has for me. So prayer has to be until we're ready, till God is ready to send us on his calendar, not our calendar. You stay until you are sent. You wait to be a witness. If you don't wait, you won't get God's filling. And prayer is the key. It says in chapter 2, it says, on the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Praise God that they all were not sitting in their own homes on the internet praying or watching TV or in their jobs praying. God said, I want you to go to a place and be there until I tell you to stop. It was a 10-day long prayer meeting. For 10 days, they sat there and they prayed. For 10 days, they sought the Lord nonstop. They just prayed. And do you think it was worth it?
Yes.
Do you think it was worth the wait?
Yes.
Yeah. Did they waste time during that time? No, there were some things that they did, wasn't it? When they were in the prayer room, they realized that there something was missing. Somebody was missing. So they put an apostle in the place of Judas. They prayed and laid hands on him. So this was a prayer meeting that brought people together. You cannot have effective prayer without being together. Won't happen. It won't happen. You have to be in the same place, on the same page, so to speak. If everybody is just doing what they think they should do or just going their own way, how are they going to come together to pray? The anointing flows. It says, behold how good. And how, Psalm 133, verse 1, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. That scripture can be applied to the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Can it? Weren't they dwelling together in unity? In one accord? And where did the oil start to flow? From the head down. And what does the oil represent? Come on, folks. The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was poured out on Jesus first. And then from the head, Jesus, it began to flow down from the body. God always pours the oil from the head down, from the top down. And so when Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, it flowed down on the day of Pentecost, all the way down to the little tiptoes. The little pinky toes of God's people. God's anointing flows from the top down. Because they were together in prayer. They were waiting for God's promise. They were in one place. And God was preparing them during the prayer time. Many times when God calls you to a season of prayer, He does it because He wants to do something in you so that you'll be ready for what He wants to pour out.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
You know, I want to be ready when I want to have my vessel open. You know, there may be something in your clay pot that God wants to get out before He pours the anointing in there.
Yes. Make it so, Lord.
Yeah. Maybe you need to clean out what's in the pot. Maybe you need to make room for that anointing. Well, being in the prayer together, together in prayer, together in prayer, together in prayer. Hear that? Together, praying one after another after another. And it was a prayer meeting. I'm taking a lot of time on this. It's been about 10 minutes just talking about this. Why? Because I'm passionate about this. It's so important to pray together. To wait on the Holy Spirit, because when He pours out His Spirit, it says they were together in one place. Now, some people think it wasn't even the upper room when it came. They were down there at the temple at the time, and there's something to be said about that. But I'm not going to go there and do this. It says the second thing that happened, okay, they were people of prayer, and they were people of praise. Because the next thing that happened in the room was a sound. Was a sound. The sound came after the prayer. There was a sound that started coming in that place. It said it was the wind blowing like a rushing sound, but it was a wind, it was a sound. And the sound created a praise in the people. And the people began to release. I believe it was a sound that they were releasing as well. Because we see that later. They were praising God and testifying about the works of the Lord. So there was a praise that came out of them, but it was a sound in that room that broke the silence, that broke the prayer. The prayer erupted in praise. And as they praised the Lord, they heard a sound, and that sound actually brought people together from the outside in. This is a church that has the sound that draws people. It will bring people here because of the sound. That's why we need to get that sound out. Get it off the mountain or bring people here. Because when you walk into, I can't explain it, but there's a sound of heaven that just comes as you worship. Come on. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's more than just singing the song, right? I mean, I heard that sound when there was an old piano with missing keys out of tune and nothing but tambourines in the room. I heard the sound. Now, my ears heard some other sounds that weren't so cool. But there was a sound of heaven there in the midst of a people that did not have musical skills. I was the only musician there at the time. And they looked at me and they found that I played piano and they said, okay, you're playing piano. It wasn't even an if. It wasn't even asking. It was like, you're playing piano. We've just got ourselves a piano. And that's just how it was. So but there was a sound with those people. Yes.
I remember a brother, Frank McCarley, prayed for me.
Yeah.
Was it down in Atlanta? It was in Atlanta. He was praying for me. And he prayed, I can't remember specifically what he prayed, but he prayed something that when he said it, we were in a home and these double doors in the basement of this home flew open. The wind just came right into the house. I mean, it blew the doors open in the house we were in. Which,
man.
You know, like, and it was
an amazing sign.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And God will do that. He'll just blow. But there's a sound that comes as we worship the Lord that you have to pay attention to. Because with that sound comes a fire, and with that fire comes a speaking. Now, the third thing is the prophetic. Pentecostal people are prophetic people. And I want to go down here. Verse 6, it says, when they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it? Then each of us hears them in his own native language. And then they begin to list the countries that they're from. Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome. That means there was some Latin going on there. Both Jews and converts to Judaism. Cretans. I don't know what Cretans spoke, but Greek and Arabs. No, I would maybe say something different, actually, because Greek was pretty common, so I'm thinking Cretans maybe had like, you know how you go to a country where there's an official language and then they have a, what now? Yeah, just a dialect. So it's like there was a different thing going on there with this. But look here what it says. They were declaring the wonders of God. Isn't that a praise?
Yeah.
Isn't that a form of praise, declaring God's wonders?
Yes.
But here's the key. In our own language. Our own dialect. Are there different dialects of Estonian? So you go to different parts of the country and they speak it really differently. Now, I always joke about New York. I was hanging around. We closed on Mom's house. And I was joking with my New York friends up there. We were doing the signing. I said, I love coming to New York because every time I come, I just love hearing the language. And I always wait. It never takes me long to hear the word absolutely. They don't say absolutely down here in the South. They don't say it. But up there, they say it all the time. I mean, the moment you meet somebody, that word absolutely is going to come out within, I would say, a minute or 30 seconds, guaranteed, no matter who you talk to. Could be a cab driver. It could be a worker at the bagel shop. You're going to hear that word absolutely. And they started laughing because they're like, look at me. Like, I said, it's true. They don't say it down in the South. So we have a dialect up there that's not spoken here. So absolutely, Vincent. Now, they don't use that in Pittsburgh, do they? No. They don't say it. There's something about the New York area. It's just crazy. So there's this sound that turns into a speech. The sound turns into speech, and that's prophecy. Prophecy is where the Holy Spirit, you get that sound going, and as you yield to the sound of heaven, God will give you speech. And this is the key thing that's so awesome. You don't understand it, but the person who's supposed to get it does. You speak a word you don't know. And that's what's so hard about prophecy for people. If you totally rule your mind with an iron fist and not allow the Holy Spirit to just let go of that, let that mind relax and begin to speak what you see that doesn't make sense, then you say it. And then God actually gives it to somebody else because the word wasn't for you. It was for somebody else.
Amen.
And that's what prophecy is. Prophecy is speaking a word that God gives you outside of your own understanding.
Amen.
That's the key part. Some people try to prophesy things that they already know.
Yes.
It comes out of their understanding because they read the Bible and they know kind, and they may know that person. But the prophecy is when you don't know. And you have to learn how to stay in that realm of not knowing. Because if you do, then you'll know it's the word of the Lord. Because and it's a risk because you don't know what you're saying. It doesn't make sense to you. So you obey God and you say it. So it is not natural for you to prophesy. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
It is supernatural for you to prophesy. And it's like the same principles in praise. You know you're praising God when you're praising Him when you don't want to praise God or don't feel like it. And you offer up the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise is where you're praising out of your comfort zone. Oh, come on. Somebody knows that here. Or do y'all like to just be comfortable? I mean, there's a discomfort to prophecy and there's a discomfort for praise. And if we ever have a church that's always comfortable, my goodness, we need to throw out these chairs and mess this place up so it's very uncomfortable.
Amen.
I'm serious.
Amen.
I'm serious. And you go to the mission field, you see what people really have in church, and then you say, wow. But if you get too comfortable, it's all comfortable, and there won't be any faith.
Amen. That's right.
Right? How can the Holy Spirit help you if you've got it? I got it, Lord. Sorry, don't need the Spirit on this one.
Right.
Oh, I really know that person. I got it, Lord. You don't have. But sometimes God will give you something 180 opposite of what you're thinking about that person.
Yep.
Amazing. Amazing. And you're like, God, oh no. And you're like, I got to say this, but boy, everything in me is like, whoa, this doesn't make sense. And you say it. You say it. I got to give a testimony. We were hanging out with some friends from New Jersey. They're going to be coming and ministering. Actually, we moved the date back in the month of March. And there's a prophet out there named Sean Bolts. He's been going around. We heard him at the last conference we went to in the spring. And Sean, I mean, I've seen some interesting words of knowledge. But a word of knowledge is when God gives you something for somebody that there's no way you could have known. And a lot of times you don't even know what you're saying, so you put it down. So here's the great thing. So he's in a meeting in California, and our friends are not even in the meeting. They're not in the meeting, okay? Very well established. Sean gets up there, he goes, you know what? God's giving me this name, Thomas. Thomas. And Thomas has a daughter named Byron. Son named Byron. Well, Byron is the name of their church. It's Celtic for barn, and that's how they named their church. The rebirth of the church in Plainsboro, that Vincent's been there. So he keeps talking. Yeah, and there's, I'm thinking of the word Corinthians, but you know what? I'm only getting Corrine. That's the name of his wife. So,
name, right?
Oh, yeah, Corrine. Yeah, how many of you know? I know a lot of Corrines, don't you? No, I'm sorry, I'm being sarcastic. Yeah, so Thomas and Corrine and a child named Byron, which is the name of their church. So Don Potter's sitting there. How many of you know Don Potter? Heard of him. Don Potter's sitting there. He's friends with Tom and Corrine. And he's going, wait a second. I think I know who these people are. Because nobody, here he's giving this word of knowledge, and nobody's saying, that's me, that's me, that's me. They're not even there. They're in New Jersey. This guy's giving the word in California. Okay. And then he begins to give the rest of the children's names. And he says, well, here's the word. And he gives the word. And Don Potter says, wait a second. I know these guys. So Don pulls out a piece of paper, writes down the word, puts it in his briefcase. He doesn't know when he's going to see Tom and Corrine. So they go to a conference. 3 months later, they go to a conference. And Don says, oh, by the way, here's a word that Sean Bolts gave you in California when you weren't there.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? But Sean was willing to do something stupid. Yeah. It was outside his comfort zone. Because the first thing you want to do is give a word and then have someone say, yes, that's me. That's me. You read my mail, blah, blah, blah. You're like, no, that's good. Hey, you're just getting started, brother, sister. Faith is when you give a word and the person may not even be there. But God knows how to get the word to the person.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, there are places like that. You know what I'm saying? So be willing to step out in faith, even if. That's the thing about word of knowledge. You step out in word of knowledge and you think, you know, I'm just thinking of this name here, you know, Zechariah. And no one raises their hand, you know. That's scary. Why? It doesn't come from your mind. And God has to mess your mind up in order to get you into the Spirit sometimes. And you got to take a step of faith. Now, they were prophetic because they spoke as the Holy Spirit gave them the words. And they were in the language of the people who were receiving it, not in the language of those who gave it. All right. Yes. Go ahead. All right. Illustration.
It was about, I don't know, 15 or 18 years ago, about when Elizabeth was probably still a teenager. But it was a teens meeting. And the only two adults in the room was John Stifler and me. And John and I were sitting about here, and the girls were up worshiping the Lord. And one of the girls started singing in tongues, and it sounded Oriental. Well, there was a girl here who was Oriental, but she was not a believer. And all of a sudden, we saw her countenance change from like, oh, like I'm just here with my friends, to. And she just like she was listening intently. And so John and I walked over to her because John and I both saw it. And John said, is this making sense to you? And the girl goes, and
she's amazed.
Yeah, she's like, and John said, well, what is, do you understand what she's saying? And the girl said, she's speaking Chinese. And then John said, what is she talking about? And the girl just went, about God. And then we left her alone because we figured the Lord is giving her a message directly. Right. And so we continued with the meeting, but that happened in this room.
Yeah.
about 18 or so years ago.
Yeah, so it's happening. It's happening, and it's going to happen more and more and more as you all be obedient to the Lord to release what God gives you and be willing to just let the Holy Spirit fill your mouth with those words as you wait on the Lord and as you respond to the sound. It's important. Those ingredients are very, very important so that you can speak, because the sound of heaven begins with the wind blowing. And Jesus said that you don't know where the wind goes, right? Where it comes from or where it's going. So that move of the sound of the wind has no reference point for you. And you have to be willing to just flow with that and move into that.
Amen.
So the prophetic people, we need to learn to speak when it doesn't come from our carnal thinking. We need to be amazed and perplexed so that they can be amazed and perplexed. They're amazed because they get it. We're amazed because we don't get it. Does that make sense? We have to be willing to walk in that discomfort of not getting it and not letting this rule too much. Understanding always follows the move of the Spirit. Does that make sense? In the book of Acts chapter 1, it says that Jesus began to do and teach. What came first, the doing or the teaching? The doing. He did it, then he explained what he did. Many times you will prophesy and then understand later what it means. Get it? That's tongues and interpretation. Tongues and interpretation is where you speak and don't get it, but then someone else interprets it, and then you get it. If she had said what you were saying, you would have, oh, okay, makes perfect sense. I was in a meeting 3 weeks ago. This is just an innocent little meeting. Little John sitting back 3 or 4 rows. I wasn't running the meeting. Okay, I was just a guest. One of the leaders gets up and starts exhorting. Grabs the microphone, gets exhorting. I'm just back there singing and worshiping. Oh, in tongues. I was just, oh, shakarabarende. Just singing nice and easy. There's a person in the second row comes back to me and says, everything you prayed, the Lord gave me the interpretation of your tongue, and everything you sang was what he said. So you would sing it, and then he would say it. And then you'd sing some more, and he'd say it some more. It blew her away. She was like white as a sheet.
Wow.
So I was like, that's cool. But you see how it wasn't like me. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, John's really going to do this great miracle. You know what I mean? You're like just being you. You understand what I'm saying? You're just being you, and God's just like using you. That's what's so exciting about this thing. You don't have to be somebody.
Amen.
You can just be you, and God will just use you. Because I was responding to the sound that was in that room. I was just singing along with the sound. You know? And I just want you all to just, if you flow, and just not worry about who you are. Don't worry about your past. Don't worry about your struggles. Don't worry about those things. And just respond to the sound. God will fill your mouth, and you'll just begin to prophesy to people, and you won't even know it. And that's cool. God just wanted to encourage me. And that person too, I think.
Yeah,
the Holy Spirit enables us to speak. And we can prophesy. You know what's interesting about praying in tongues and interpretation? And I'm not going to go too deep in this, but in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says that he said, pray in tongues, but interpret it so that it can be like prophecy to people. So he wasn't talking about the worship prayer or the personal prayer. He was talking about the corporate prayer. So this is something we don't see a lot here, and I believe we should see it more. That's where we're like worshiping the Lord, and then Vincent gets up, and he just releases a word in tongues. Just lets it rip. And then sits down. You know why? Because he doesn't have the interpretation. God didn't give it to him. That's what Paul's talking about there. Then someone else gets up, and they've got the interpretation. Now, that takes faith, doesn't it? Because, my goodness, the tongues police will come after you if you give that word and don't have an interpretation. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to do something, step out of faith. You know, well, you don't have it. You know what I'm saying? Well, what are you going to do? Paul said, just release it And someone else will have it. If they don't have it, forget about it. Yeah, don't worry about it. You see what I'm saying? It's the same principle. If God gives you a word of knowledge for someone and it's wrong and they're not there, maybe there's an answer you haven't figured out yet. So don't judge it too quick. Amen. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
It's important that you don't jump on that judgment wagon too quick about words. Just be willing to wait on the Lord, because there may be an answer that you just haven't figured out yet. So but you see how that takes teamwork? Teamwork. Teamwork. That means you don't do it all. You know, sometimes I feel like our paradigm is too much focused on one person doing amazing things. And that's good. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, sometimes God wants a people to do amazing things. That means you give a tongue and that person has an interpretation, or that person gives a dance. They just dance or do some kind of movement that just sets someone free. I mean, there's a variety of things. And I want to share the difference here, because my last point has to do with preaching. Because after all of this happened, Peter spoke. Now, I want you to see the verse. It's in verse 14. I want you to see this context. Look at verse 14 in Acts chapter 2. At first, everybody did it all, right? It says they all were filled. The house was all filled with the sound, and they all spoke, right? And everybody heard. So it was all, right? All. We call that body ministry. Everybody say body ministry. Body ministry is when the body just does it, and everybody's doing it. But sometimes everybody is not the best thing. Sometimes one person has to stand up and do it. So you have to have a balance between body ministry and an individual anointed person to set aside for that. And this is what it happens. And you notice church has to have a balance. Most churches I go to, maybe you too, you have Peter standing up, but the body isn't doing nothing. Okay? That's what I see mostly. But I've been to churches, there occasionally, where everybody's doing something so much that nobody has a chance for one person to do anything, you know, because everybody's just talking all the time. And they're just running their mouth too much. Yeah, I shouldn't say it quite like that. But you know what I'm saying? They get carried away, and you don't have the Peter standing up. There is a place for God to anoint one person. It is not a level democracy. It just isn't. The kingdom is not like that. There's leaders that God anoints for an occasion. But you notice it says that Peter didn't stand up by himself, did he? He had his team with him. Peter stood up with the 11, but he did the speaking, but he had 11 other guys with him. Come on, Peter. Preach it, brother. Amen, Peter. They were behind him. You hear what I'm saying? This is what God wants. He wants a team of people to get behind whoever it is that God is anointing, set aside for that time, and get behind him and say, go for it, buddy. Go for it, Peter. Do it, man. And 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 people. And this is the key. But he was with a team. Peter was with a team. 11 others with him. With him. He was just Peter walking in. You know, he wasn't just walking up the street. I've got, you know. But he was with a team. God wants us to have that. He wants us to have praying people, praising people, prophetic people in the body. But he also wants the preachers to stand up with those around them and to do is this is that. Now, in New York, we would say this is that, you know. All right. But it's this is that. He said, so Peter was the one who took the scripture. And this is what's so cool. God will move in the assembly, right? And God never moves and speaks by the Holy Spirit without it conforming and harmonizing with the written word.
Amen.
This is how you judge prophecy. You judge prophecy by whether it happens, but then you also judge prophecy does it conform with the Word of God? They had this gigantic experience, right? They were all, I don't know, rolling on. Who knows what they were doing? People thought they were drunk. So I don't believe they were just going, like nice little people. You know what I'm saying? I think they were having a Holy Ghost party, rolling, dancing, jumping, falling. I mean, they were doing it all because it says it looked like it was a drunken party. So they were actively praying in the Spirit. They were actively prophesying. They weren't just standing there looking nice. But the Lord always follows up His move with His Word. So never settle for demonstrations of the Spirit unless there's something solid here, because this is what we have. We need the Word of God. We need the written Word of God to minister truth to us. We can't just go just based on manifestations of the Spirit. We have to have an explanation to come along with the manifestation. Amen. Is someone excited about that? Aren't you glad we're balanced? I mean, I want a balanced church. I've been in some pretty crazy places they said the Holy Spirit was doing this and that, and the Word was gone. It wasn't there. And it was against the Word, and they were thinking it's the Spirit. I don't want that. I want to be able to sit down and get that Word, too. I want that Word of God to come and to transform us, to change us, to challenge us, to stretch us, to give us good boundaries. You never throw away the written Word. And you always bring that to bear. And it's a team that does it. You know, it's a man that's with a team. So praise God.
Amen.
Praying. What's next?
Praising.
What's next? Yeah, prophetic. And the last thing,
preaching.
God's going to raise up some preachers here. I'm serious. God is going to raise up some preachers that are going to astound you. I believe that. And you're going to see people saved. We're going to see people saved. We're going to see people that are going to hear the Word of God like they heard it, never heard it before. He's going to raise up some people, and they're going to have a team standing with them saying, go get them. They're going to be equipped in the Word of God. They're not just going to be hit and miss. But at the same time, there is going to be an environment here, an environment where you hear the sound. And people are free, and they're prophesying, and they're not being, you know what I mean? They're just flowing in the Holy Spirit. They're free to release what God has. You got to hear me on the difference. When Paul taught, is it all right? I'm just kind of ministering here. When Paul spoke about the twos and the threes, he was talking about the preaching, not the general atmosphere of worship. You hear what I'm saying? Peter didn't run around on the day of Pentecost and say, wait a minute, excuse me, only two or three of you should speak tongues here. Hear me. No, they all spoke, and there was this environment of tongues, this environment of speaking and singing in the Spirit. And people individually were getting ministered to. So there are times when you'll see that. I mean, you'll just see somebody getting hammered in the middle of a meeting. And it may look chaotic to you at times. That's okay. Some of you have been here long enough, understand what I'm talking about. And those of you, you know, we need some Holy Ghost chaos.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah, you hear what I'm saying? We need it. We got to have it. We can't just skip from prayer to preaching. We can't skip from praise to preaching. We got to have that prophecy in there. And, you know, we got to have the whole thing, all four foundational points of the building. They got to be there. So Holy Ghost chaos is good, but it's not everything. You hear me? You hear where I'm coming from on this? And there are times, I'll never forget this meeting in Lancaster. Papa Frank was there. Marianne was there. The Lord just said, get under the piano and lay down. Just don't say anything. Just get there. Lay down. To this day, every time I run down to Grace Church, I see a Dr. Z. He says, I love you, Pastor John, because you'll just get under that piano if God tells you to. So I just got down there, and then the Lord just broke out in that meeting like crazy chaos. All kinds of cool stuff was there. And the Lord said, you don't get up until I tell you to. Now, it wasn't my church, but I was the one that was supposed to speak that day. Yeah, I think Papa Frank spoke that day. Okay. Brother Frank preached. No problem. So there you go. God ministered and worked. Why? Because we needed a little bit of that. And then the Lord just began to minister. It was beautiful. And there are going to be times when we're going to be in a worship service and God will just say, just keep going, just keep going. Get down on the floor. Don't be afraid. Just spend some time with God. Just there are times when I do that. When I go away, most of the time I'm here on the piano, so I can't really do it, you know. But be free during those times, and we'll be try to be as respectful as we possibly can, and we work with you. You know what I'm saying? And that's the kind of place we need to have.